So my lesson this morning is going to be about building a stronger church. I might as well tell you that now, so you can keep that in mind as we go, because in just a minute here, I'm going to start out in left field like I do sometimes. Imagine that you're an animal. Maybe the one you're thinking of is something similar in personality to you. Maybe one that is your favorite animal you can think of. Maybe an animal that you wish you could be. All right, now that you're thinking about that, don't let that go. I'm going to use some artistic license in my next story here, if you'll allow me that for a second. But you've received this communication from God, and He's asked you to go in a direction that you've never been before. But He's told you that because there's this impending danger coming, and that He wants you to get away from it, and He's offered you salvation if you will listen and do what He asked you to do. So you agree, and you head that way. And once you arrive, you see this man here. He's a great leader. He is ushering animals such as you into the ark, and you take your spot there that you're going to inhabit for an indefinite period of time. You haven't been told. As you arrive in your little space, put a little illustration up there for you to help you imagine this. You arrive in your space, and you see these animals beside you that you're not familiar with, and as you start to get comfortable with your surroundings, some more animals come in that you've never known. So now is your chance to ask your neighbors, what kind of animal were you? So I'm actually letting you guys talk during our lesson here. So ask each other what kind of animal you're sitting beside. I want you to think about this. Okay? I don't see you guys talking. So as the ark is filling up and these animals are arriving, some are getting sat by those that you've never really gotten along with before. Perhaps, you know, you're the wolf and the one beside you is the lamb. There's obviously an inherent feeling of anxiety and fear or defensiveness. You're sitting by people that you don't sit by animals. Oh, no, I'm giving my whole presentation. You're sitting by animals that you don't even know. You don't know their tendencies, their personalities. How's this going to work? Why have I been put in this situation? The space is starting to get more and more crowded. Some of these pews feel a little crowded this morning. That's good. And so the space is getting tight. The anxiety level is coming up, and it starts raining. You've never seen or heard rain before. But you're inside the ark. You don't really know what's going on outside. But there is an anxiety level of bad things are happening outside this vessel as well. So things are kind of off to a rocky start. The boat starts rising and it gets a little uneasy. You start losing your balance. Things are shifting and you're not sure where you're going. There's one window in this ark, in this vessel, and it's not in a place where you can see out. And, you know, we like to be in cars, and when I'm riding in an airplane, I like to be by the window because I like my bearings. There was no such thing in the ark. Once you got in, the door was closed. You may have some light coming in from that window, depending on the size. But there was no way of seeing out, necessarily, for most of these animals. So now you're beside people. You're beside these other animals, and you're starting to build relationships, okay? As time's going on, you're going through the same struggles with each other. The fear of each other has diminished somewhat, and the fear of the outside might be increasing. But you're building these relationships as time has gone on, and that's helping. And also, you recall this promise that was made by God to you earlier on, that He has brought you to this vessel for your salvation. And to escape the danger and the death that's happening outside, of which you can hear, and you've heard people talk about what they're hearing on the outside. And it's now the inside has become a place of comfort and safety, whereas the outside is what is now frightening and fearful. At last, the rain does come to an end. After some months, it stops raining. The boat continues to float on, and the others in your group and around you start talking about, the end is almost near. We're almost there. What was promised to us looks like it's actually going to happen now. After more than a year, the boat does come to a rest, and the ark is opened up, and you can see again your new home, fresh, peaceful, and pure. Oh, thanks for that, like I said, that little artistic retelling of our story here of the ark. I told it from a perspective of the animals. We often think about it from Noah's perspective, from the Lord's perspective. This morning I wanted to focus on more about how did the animals experience that ark experience. Like I said, we talked sometime about Noah, and how he was a foreshadow of Christ. Okay, so that, when we talk about the ark story, we do talk about Noah quite a bit. Let's just look at some of these references of how Noah does look like the Savior. In verse 9, it recalls that Noah is a righteous man, he's blameless in his time, and he walked with God. Verse 18, through Noah, God said, I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of a kind into the ark, to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female. Verse 21. As for you, take for yourself some of the food that's edible, and gather it to yourself, for it shall be food for you and for them. Verse 22. Noah did, according to all the things that God commanded him, so he did. And then chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. All those are references to how Noah was a foreshadow of the Messiah to come. And that's just a small sampling of that of this ark story and of who Noah was and what he did. We're not here to talk about Noah this morning. There's also another parallel that we speak of in 1 Peter chapter 3, about how the flood waters were like a symbol of baptism. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. It says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. In which he went and made a proclamation to all the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, who were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That too, if you're thinking of, Noah is kind of like Jesus, you read about those things that pertain to Jesus here, and you think about how Noah was like that. But also the waters of baptism were similar to, the waters of the flood were similar to our baptism. Because it's our way of also humbly submitting ourselves to God's means of salvation. And we talk about those often when we talk about the ark story, the flood story. We don't often talk about the animals. What about the animals? What role did they play in that kind of foreshadow of the Christ and of baptism? So as I read through that, I often thought, well, the animals are a lot like us. The experience that the animals went through was a lot like what we will go through. And I know in my recent lessons, I've been calling us names. I guess I'm doing that again today. I called us fools a couple weeks ago, but that was for Christ's sake. Okay, that was a good thing. And today we're animals, and I'm calling the animals, and I'm not going to apologize for that this morning. But this isn't the first time that we've been called animals. I mean, Jesus himself did so in John chapter 10. Think about that. Remember in John 10 verse 1, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by his name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice." Down to verse 7. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And I will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.'" Okay. I hope you're not offended if I make a metaphor or a simile, one of those two, that we're all animals here this morning. Let's keep it in the spiritual perspective. Now, as I go on through the rest of my lesson this morning, I'm going to use Skip's learning triangle, if we remember that. We're going to start with facts, and then we're going to move on to concepts, and we're going to find an application. Okay, so here's my facts about how we are animals this morning. Going back to Genesis 6. Got a number of things here listed out. So let's think about this. Go back through that illustration we talked about this morning, the experience that the animals had through that flood experience. And think about how that's going to be like you and me and us together. Fact number one, in verse 7. It says, "The Lord said, 'I will blot out man, whom I have created, from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, to the birds of the sky, for I'm sorry that I made them.'" God had set a day of destruction for the people of old, before the flood. And likewise, we know that there has been a day of destruction set for this world that we live in right now too. It's something that he has told us about, and that's something he wants us to be prepared for, and he's made a way for us to be saved from it. In verses 14 to 16, he says, "Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms. You shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set a door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." God gave explicit instructions on how the ark should be built. And Noah went about building that ark, didn't he? And we have a Savior that went about building a vessel for us, our means of salvation too, this church. This church, the church that's in Greenwood, the church that is universal. Jesus has gone about building a place for his people to come together and to find shelter from the outside. There's explicit instructions about how that should be done and followed. And those are things that we ought to continue to do today too. In verses 19 and 20, it reads, "And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds of their kind, of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come with you to keep them alive." Animals of every species were invited to come to this ark. They were called, they were chosen by God to come to this vessel of salvation. He took some of all over the world, of all over creation, the big ones, the small ones, the insects, the impressive large mammals. He took everything because he knew they all had a purpose in his creation. He wanted them all to be saved and to have a new home. And likewise, the church is made up of all, isn't it? Of all of every nation, tongue, and tribe, it says in Acts. Those of great stature, of small stature, are all called and chosen to become a part of this body that we now make up to. Verses 21 and 22. As for you, take for yourself some of all the food which is edible, and gather it to yourself. It shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. The animals in the ark had a great and righteous leader that called them to him, and that also took care of him, care of the animals too. All the needs and necessities they would have had along the way, Noah was there to make sure that he met them and they could make it through the journey to the end. Back in verse 16, it does say, "You shall make a window for the ark, finish it a cubit from the top, and set a door in the ark, in the side of it." We talked about him back in John, remember, how Jesus was the door for the shepherd. There is only one way into this vessel of salvation, and that's through Jesus. There's one window, too, in that ark. There's only one means of light to come in for those animals to partake in some of the light that God would give them. And we have one source of light ourselves, don't we? Our light of life, Jesus himself. And now in chapter 7, verse 23, it says, "Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, to birds of the sky. They were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those who were with him in the ark." Inside the ark was life. Outside the ark was death. Those who were invited into the ark were saved, but outside, everything else that was existing was wiped away. Inside the church here now is the source of life. We now can live through Jesus inside this vessel of salvation too. And it's unfortunate that those on the outside who will not come in will experience death, and they will also be lost as the creation was before. And lastly, I've proceeded on without letting you see. Huh? My last point there, in Genesis 6:18, God said to Noah, "I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring into of a kind to the ark to keep them alive." I think I've got that. Okay, and then also in chapter 9, verses 14 and 19, it says, "It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. Never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that's on the earth." God did set up, he made a promise to Noah and to all those animals that were on the ark that there is salvation in this vessel. And though they had to endure a long period of uncertainty and anxiety, at the end, God kept that promise, didn't he? And he even set a sign for them and said, "Hey, whenever you and I see this bow in the sky, I'll remember that this promise I made with you. And you can remember the promise that we made together too." And we have also been made promises from our Lord that salvation is offered to us too through Jesus. And we have been given a spirit, his spirit, to be our guarantee that this promise will not be broken. And it's something we can look forward to and expect to receive one day. Those are the facts. Okay, those are the facts that say how the church today, us as a people, are a lot like the animals and the experience that they went through on the ark. Now let's move on conceptually to thinking about what is there to learn from this comparison? So we only got two things for you this morning. There's a lot more, but I've narrowed it down just to two, so maybe we can remember them after we leave. First of all, God can unite where conflict would typically reign. As in our earlier illustration, you're imagining yourself in his animal, and hopefully you talk to your neighbor to see what kind of animal you were sitting beside. There was no guarantee that you're going to be sitting beside a friendly animal on the ark. There's no guarantee that you were set beside something that you're similar to, someone that you're known to get along with. You could have been beside someone that is a natural enemy to you, or someone that you have such differences with. How will we ever get along on this journey that we're not sure is going to end? In Proverbs 22:2, it says, "The rich and the poor have this in common, that the Lord is the maker of them all." Thinking about that, let's now move to Ephesians chapter 2. How can God bring together such things that are naturally different? Animals have natural differences, but even people ourselves, we really struggle to get along together too, even though we know better. But through Jesus, this is possible. Starting in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him, the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Without God, how can these things that have nothing in common come together and be united? How can carnal man, with our own selfish desires and interests and motives, how can we get along with each other in a place like this? We may not be so different in this little community, but those little differences that we have sometimes get heightened because we are so similar. And those little things sometimes can get in the way of our relationship building. We may not be as different as the wolf and the lamb, but sometimes those differences that we do experience do separate us in some way. But through Jesus, it says through his death, he has made us one body. And only through Jesus can we actually put those things aside and be of one heart, one mind. Think about what Isaiah had prophesied in chapter 11 of his book. Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it reads, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord." Going down to verse 6. "And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play in the hole of a cobra. and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Think about how this passage in Isaiah is that connector between what happened on the ark and all those differences there that they experienced by their neighbors and those around them, how they were able, through God, to find a commonality there. They came because they were going to be saved. And they found a peace somehow through God that got them through that period. And today, us, it has been prophesied that us would be like that. We would be like these animals, natural enemies sometimes, that can find a common bond. And that common bond helps us put away all those differences. And we can be united together in one. I thank Jared for the songs that he sang this morning, that he led. They really helped me think about this. And I hope you can recall those if you'd like to go back and open up your hymn books again. And look at those songs. Look at the words that we talked about, how we have this common bond and this common love with each other. Talked about at the beginning, this lesson would be about building a stronger church. So as we talk about these concepts, thinking about what we're talking about here, these concepts we can learn and apply, and how that can build a stronger church. That unit needed to be very strong within the ark to make it through that year or more that they were on those waters. And if we fill ourselves with the same attitude and approach to each other, we can build a stronger church here. My second concept has to do with the salvation that's offered to us. And it's something we can receive if we choose to obey and endure the calling. I'll say my parallel might be a little bit more weak here. And if you can help me make it stronger, I'd like to come talk to me after we dismiss. But like we said, the animals that came to the ark were called by God. They were chosen by God. He knew which animals he wanted. He knew which animals he needed. And they were called to the ark, and they were there, and they willingly came. We see in 1 Peter, again, chapter 1, how we have been called as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come..." It's not the verse I'm looking for. I'm in the first Peter. I'm sorry. Do I? My apologies. I can't find it with the lights on me up here. If anybody finds it on the at your pews, let me know. We'll reference that. But Peter does make a reference to us being called and chosen by God. 2 Peter 1:10. Evan saves the day. "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble." In a way similar to the animals, we have also been called and chosen. The animals, I'm not sure, had free will over their calling and choosing. But today we do. All mankind has the ability to be called and chosen by the Lord. If we want to humbly submit to his will, he will choose us for salvation. Will we answer that call? Will we answer that being chosen? Just like we said, God has had a purpose for each animal. In us, ourselves, we may have chosen different animals to save. We may have rather saved the cows than the mouse. We may have rather chosen the butterfly over the mosquito. God had a purpose for each of those animals. And He has a purpose for each and one of us in our work in His kingdom as well. Far be it from us to think that we are not, we're not worthy to be a part of that number. Something that calling doesn't apply to me because I couldn't do it. I'm not there. God doesn't want me. He doesn't need me in His kingdom. That's not for our choosing. We ought to choose because God has given us this choice to be saved. This invitation to do so. And He wants us to be in this vessel of salvation. Every member is important, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 to 25. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in His body just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And on our less presentable members, we become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. As we build a stronger church, we need to recognize the role of the seemingly lesser members of the body, on those who we ought to bestow more honor, as God did to those He chose to be on the ark. And we think about the journey that they experienced on the ark. And we talked about how, you know, it could be full of fear and anxiety. It can throw us off balance at times. And we are not sure how long this journey is going to last. But we were given a promise at the beginning. And that promise, we have confidence, will be fulfilled in the end. The journey that we're going to take together, we may have some periods where we are knocked off balance and where we have fear of one another. We get defensive because of certain things that may happen. If we have that same hope and calling with each other, then that is something we can endure together too. And I'm going to have to count on you to help me endure as those other animals and their caretaker on the ark were one unit to make sure that they all got together to meet the peace at the end. Those are my concepts. Now let's end here with the application. And I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 4. Of that I'm confident. We've talked about how these facts and concepts, if we employ things like this, it will make us stronger. And I want Peter to do the applying here. Remember at the end of chapter 3, he talked about how the floodwaters were like baptism. But if you go back even before that, and looking at chapter 3, things that he talked about include how the disciples should act in a humble manner with each other. The lives that we live should be lives that are built on unity. Enduring suffering and Jesus' selfless leadership, how those things, if you're thinking about how the ark experience, how those all fit together too. Going in then to chapter 4, I'll read this and close out our lesson. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same purpose, because He too has suffered in the flesh and ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, They were surprised that you do not run with them in the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached to those even who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. All these things, I hope you could think about how they apply to you, how they apply to the ark, the animals on the ark too. And I hope in the future, as we talk about that ark story, about how, let's think about that, the experience of those animals and how it might be similar to us and the things that we can learn from those two stories. And I hope you too will join me in trying to apply these things to our lives to build a stronger church, a stronger unit, and a stronger bond with each other as we endure our sufferings until our salvation day is near. If anyone is not yet a part of the body, a part of the saved, we invite you to become part of the church of Jesus, part of his body, so that you may experience the salvation that we all expect. If you're outside the body, things that we've looked at this morning hopefully have shown you that there is a destruction coming. And if you're not in that vessel of salvation, you will be lost. So we invite you to make that change this morning before time slips away. If you'd like to do that and become baptized in waters behind us, we ask you to do that as we stand and sing our invitation song.